All right, time for the 5 at 5 now. It is brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, let's go with a little NFL version and college version of this question, because with the NFL, we've got some trades and free agency. And with college, there's just, you know, that natural from 1 year to the next, players maturing, coaches maturing, and teams maybe improving, you know, with the schedule changing a little bit easier. But give me a team you might upgrade the most this offseason heading into the year, just in terms of a power ranking standpoint.
We talking NFL or college here, Chris?
You can give me one version of each, and the college doesn't just have to be confined to the SEC if you want to look big picture nationally.
All right. I'm going to think, Chris, on the NFL side, you know, we kind of looked around on this with our 7 in, 5 out. I think the Bears, especially if Foles is able to help them some, I think the Bears can click up some. And I think your Arizona Cardinals have a chance too.
Yeah, but listen, I like Kyler Murray looked good last year as a rookie quarterback. It's still a weird spot with Cliff Kingsbury, where it's tough to know how much to trust him, because, I mean, he was
fired by Texas Tech.
Yeah, where he, you know, he went to school there too. Like, he got fired by his alma mater. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, but they got Kyler Murray, and man, he's got some pieces. The great Larry Fitzgerald still going strong there.
Now they got DeAndre Hopkins.
In the AFC, and obviously I think Tampa's a candidate if Brady's got anything left in the tank. In the AFC, it's hard to see past the Chiefs or Ravens, and I get it, Bill O'Brien's a coach of the Texans. They still have Deshaun Watson, though. The Colts would be the team, if Rivers has anything left in the tank, I think that would have the chance to move up in class in the AFC. But that, you know, again, if it came down to you're going to take Ravens, I'll give you Ravens, Texans, Chiefs, or the other 13 teams, I would take those three teams to make the Super Bowl.
Ravens, Texans, or Chiefs? Well, you're still...
They got Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. They got Bill O'Brien, though,
well,
too.
Well, that's a downer, too.
Yeah.
But
I think Deshaun Watson, he's going to get out of Houston as fast as he possibly can.
Paging New England.
Yeah, at this point now. All right, what about in college?
Lee, in college, it's just... It's so hard because that fight to the top in the SEC is brutal. Clemson and Ohio State have separated themselves so much from the pack. You know, Texas is that traditional power that seems to be teetering. The Pac-12 is just out there, you know, waiting to be had, which means at some point you would figure Southern Cal will come back. So, Chris, I'm going to jump out there and put the pressure on the Texas A&M Aggies. The way those first 10 games set up in the schedule, if they're not at least 9-1 going into those Bama LSU games, welcome to the hot seat, $75 million man Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, I mean, things definitely shape up for them. USC is a team that is there's part of me that, like, hey, if the first weekend of games, like if the college football season got pushed back and they didn't play that opening weekend, it probably would do me some good, because you know, right now I've got USC circled against against Alabama, and I'm like, wait a second, that's Clay Helton against Nick Saban with an entire offseason. But USC does get pretty much everyone back on defense. They get a lot back on offense. They, you know, Graham Harrell did a good job there even in his first year. And that Kadon Slovis over the last month of the season was thrown for like 400 yards every game. He actually put up really good numbers, but still, it's Clay Helton and Nick Saban in that first game of the season. But I think I mean USC is, and the bar sets so low for them now, but I mean, USC should certainly be better than it has been, and at least a contender to make the Pac-12 title game.
Well, you would think so. The problem with USC right now is that the recruiting has been so bad. And I think, where did they wind up? Chris, at one point, they were in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, this past year, they were like below like they were in between like Temple and Duke or something like that.
It was bizarre, and I think part of the reason, that Clay Helton was able to hang around, it was looking like, and looking at some early crystal balls, because this past year was inordinately strong. California's always got great players, but it was inordinately strong. And then, lo and behold, we all know where all the top players from California went. I mean, a lot of them, you know, Georgia got one, Alabama got one, Clemson got one. And I think that was kind of the sell that, hey, out of these next two classes, we really feel like we can jump out there and grab a bunch of the elite guys. So maybe if they have a good year this year, they can lock down some more of those elite players. But, you know, to think that Southern Cal would ever have the type of class that, like you said, just got mentioned with the likes of Temple and was rated somewhere in the 60s. Yeah, good gosh. When, you know, I think back one year during the Pete Carroll dynasty, we ran through it. There were, you know, of the top 20 rated players that signed with Pac-12 schools, I think 17 of them were from California. Like, USC got 19 of the 20.
Yeah, every year. Now they're just getting nothing. But, you know, the thing is, though, is, like, really none of those schools in the West are getting anybody, though.
No, they're really – there's only so much of the pie to go around, and they're getting, with the elite guys, maybe less than half of the pie as a whole, and all those schools trying to eat that pie – nobody even from less than half of that pie is getting a majority.
Yeah, and you know, like just look at the top prospects from out there, and like we got one in Kendall Milton who he was basically going to come here, Ohio State or LSU. Like none of the schools even in the West were on his radar.
Yeah, they weren't even in play. Now, of course, stuff like that can change, and I'm going to pull up real quick state ranking. Shoot, California for 2021. Corey Freeman, top recruit, verbal to Clemson. SC does have a commitment from a quarterback named Jake Garcia. Next one, Rayshon Davis, LSU. Next one, undecided. A dual threat quarterback to Notre Dame. Next one, undecided. Another guy, wide receiver to Clemson. SC's got an outside backer. Another guy, leaning Washington. So it looks like they're doing a little bit better this year, but I'm going through, and then in the 11 through 21, they've got two more leans and a commitment. So maybe doing a little bit better there. But, again, as we they're definitely doing better there. But as we said, for this past year, I'm going to pull it up and just read off where everybody wound up going. Alabama, Oregon. This is California's top 10. Alabama, Oregon, Clemson, Ohio State, Southern Cal, Utah, Georgia, Washington, Georgia, Kendall Milton, Jermaine Burton, Washington, Arizona State, okay? 11 through 20, Arizona State, Washington, Arizona State, Stanford, Arizona State, Oregon, Arizona State. Remember, we didn't think Herm Edwards could recruit. Oklahoma State, Ohio State, Michigan, keeping going. Oregon, Alabama, Arizona State, Oregon, Washington, Michigan, UCLA, UCLA, Arizona State, Southern Cal doesn't have another guy till 30. So, by the way, Arizona State in like 2021, 2022 is going to be really good.
Yeah, they've definitely surprised when they made that Herm Edwards hire.
Stunning. Tip your cap to him. And by the way, his staff, I mean, he's got a lot of former NFL guys. I think even Marvin Lewis is on his staff. But
Antonio Pierce works for him, too. Used to play for the Giants. So.
But the recruiting job they've done, I just didn't know if he'd be able to do it just with the age gaps. But, again, they did a lot better in California than USC and UCLA did, that's for sure.
And there was no more glorious scene from last college football season than him having a bucket of cornflakes dumped on him after winning the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
That's what college football is all about.
And, you know, another team, but I feel like everyone's going to be on him this offseason. It's going to be North Carolina. So
sure. And they'll be good.
I might take a look at Virginia Tech in that division. Because everyone's just going to be on
back.
The Tar Heels.
By the way, Virginia Tech's got a lot of guys back.
They got a ton back on defense. And I know the Bud Foster era has finally come to an end, but they just promoted like their secondary coach to defensive coordinator. So you shouldn't expect a massive change in what they want to do defensively.
No, I wouldn't think so. And honestly, Kentucky, in our bowl pool we do, Chris, I had Kentucky. But that's a game Virginia Tech really should have won that game. And, I mean, frankly, Lynn Bowden shouldn't have been able to play. And had he not been able to play, Virginia Tech would have won that game about 31-0. But Yeah, they do have a lot of good pieces coming back, and they've got a good recent history. We're talking last 25 years has been very good. But Mack Brown's recruiting great, though. I mean, you look at the state of North Carolina for what's coming up. He is locking it down. So they are going to be the team to be dealt with on that side, and hopefully for everybody else that can cut into Clemson just a little bit at least. Because they've always done well in North Carolina.
Think back to, and North Carolina could be the answer to this, but a surprise team from last year that is going to have the hardest time sustaining its success.
Oh, boy. What about Tennessee?
I like that answer.
I think they're going to probably wind up about the same. Do you consider that sustaining?
Well, I think Tennessee fans would be disappointed if they were just basically the same as they were last year. But I mean, they're going to be at least 1-1 because they're going to lose their second game of the year. They're not going to go and win at Oklahoma.
No, they're not.
And, you know, then are they between Florida, Georgia, and they've got to still play Alabama. I mean, I still see them getting to the end of October. They'd be lucky if they're 500, which then means their season boils down to how well they do in November again. Although I forget they play us in November now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That South Carolina game will again be critical.
Yeah, so I guess that's they played South Carolina last year after that run where they played us and Bama, although they beat Mississippi State at home, which was a good win for them at the time last season, because that was they'd only won one game heading into that. So I mean, I guess November gets different. I guess after the Georgia game, then the season really comes down to how they do against. I have their schedule right here, so I don't know why I'm just guessing. It's after us. It's after us, they only have Troy and Vanderbilt, so they should. And they play Arkansas this year out of the West. That's actually helpful, although that game is in Fayetteville.
Yeah, so that's one for them. I mean, could Tennessee go 8-4? Sure. You know, 9-3, they'd have to win here to do that. But again, they've got to – and listen, they finished great. They finished strong. But are they to that point where they don't have to worry about the upsets from the team in the bottom half of the league?
I guess it comes down. All right, so by the time they get to Bama, Bama will be their seventh game. So to me, they'll be
read their first six real quick.
They'll be lucky if they're above 500. Then Charlotte at Oklahoma, and then Furman.
Okay, so they're 2-1,
and then they're Florida, Missouri at South Carolina.
They're either 3-3 or 4-2. So coming out of the Bama game, they're 4-3.
Would be best case.
Most likely, yes.
And then I think Tennessee, then their goal should be to finish 4-1 with the only loss here in Athens. But they're at Arkansas, home Kentucky, home Troy, and then at Vandy.
Yes.
So basically post-Bama, if they can go 4-1, they can come out of it all right. But they've got to at least beat Missouri at home. And then the swing game between being 4-3 out of Bama or 3-4 is, be that game at South Carolina.
I don't think Tennessee's going to fall back, but I don't think they're going to make another jump this season, at least in terms of the record.
Yeah, I don't either. But I think another team, too, looking at the Big Ten is going to be Minnesota. That P.J. Fleck's a great coach. He even got Western Michigan to a Cotton Bowl once, and they had a dream season last year. But their offensive coordinator fled for Penn State, so they lose their guy in conference, too. They don't play Ohio State or Penn State in the regular season. They've got to play Michigan and Michigan State out of the other division, but I think Minnesota's going to have a hard time being anywhere close to what it was last season.
And that division, like Wisconsin, I was just watching some of the NFL Network today, and just on the crawl, not only does Wisconsin lose Jonathan Taylor, they had a couple of other guys listed amongst the top 50 prospects. I mean, that West division is wide open. I know Iowa loses a couple of guys too, but last year, and obviously Wisconsin still wound up winning the division, but I liked Minnesota because I was well versed in the Golden Gophers after watching them roll to victory in the Quicken Loans Bowl on December 26, 2018, and Minnesota didn't let me down with a great season. It finished up with a victory over Auburn, which certainly goes down as, if not their biggest win, one of their biggest wins in the last 50 years. So is there a team like that on the Western side? You know, and I think it's going to be hard for Minnesota to do it again. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. You know, maybe this is the year that Nebraska is able to make a little bit of a move. Or is this just going to be one of those years where Ohio State plays a team that went 8-4 out of the Big Ten West?
Yeah, Nebraska is going to be the program all eyes are on. Now, this will be Scott Frost's third season there.
Right. And that's one of those, too. When they talk about their four playoff spots, like in Georgia's case, they're one or two. Like, if we were in the Big Ten West, we would be essentially in a national quarterfinal against probably Ohio State to get into the playoff.
Yeah, and that would be every year.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just a completely different animal. Now, who knows? 10, 15, 20 years from now, maybe that'll be different. But, you know, they're four playoff spots. No, they're not. There's one or two that the teams in the SEC are fighting for.
Yeah, and then you know right now there's really only like three because Clemson's got one of them too.
Yeah, so. And I know Ohio State, speaking of on the draft board, they've got a lot of guys. But as we've said, they've been lapping the field recruiting. Now, that might mean like last year they just rolled past everybody. Would you agree that this year for Ohio State, maybe they have – a couple of those closer games. I mean, they'll still have more talent, but they won't have the experienced talent. And again, I don't care how well you've recruited. You lose a guy like Okuda, you lose a guy like Young, you lose a guy like Dobbins, that's going to hurt you. But still, their talent level, there's still a nice gulf between them and anybody else in the Big Ten. It's not as big as it was this past year, though.
No. I mean, defensively, there'll be some drop off there, but even losing Dobbins, I mean, they just got that commitment from the kid from Oklahoma who left there, Trey Sermon. So,
oh yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah,
why did he leave Oklahoma? That guy was a dude.
I don't know. I mean, he was a grad transfer and he decided to go to Ohio State.
Boy, that's got to be one of the biggest big name grad transfers that we've had, isn't it?
Yeah, to really like be impactful too. To end up at a program where obviously they've got to replace a guy like Dobbins, and he'll fit right in there.
I'll tell you what, if I'm an Oklahoma fan, that's a slap in the face. I think it's one of those deals, if they had it to do all over again, kind of going back to Mike Bilotti's interview, the national championship game in January of 2002, if they had it to do all over again, they might have traded place with Georgia or Oregon in that playoff. That LSU game did something to their psyche. I mean, I think that was one. Oklahoma's still great. I'm not saying they're going to go 7-5 the next 2 years, but that performance against LSU set them back.
Well, not just for their psyche, but I think even like college football's and the selection committee, because I don't know that Oklahoma can – if Oklahoma's undefeated and wins the Big 12, they're going to be in the playoff. But I don't know if they lose a game like they did last year where they lose at Kansas State. And you know, things had to fall right for them to end up making the playoff, but I think they have a hard time getting in with one loss now. They have got no room for error.
Yeah, you almost think somebody from the Big 12 this year would have to go undefeated. And listen, hey, maybe it's Texas. I mean, if Texas can win in Baton Rouge, if they can beat Oklahoma, which they did 2 years ago in the regular season, sure. You know, they would obviously be in a rematch situation. So Texas is the two schools in Texas to me for their fan bases, Texas and Texas A&M, their fan bases have got to be looking at these schedules. And yeah, they got to go to the defending national champions and say, all right, this is a year we really, really got to make a move. Or maybe, you know, said head coach here wasn't our savior.
Yeah, I like Texas in week two at LSU, but I still think Texas is more of that program that has got enough material to be able to go and win a game like at LSU, but I still think they're also like last year, they're in overtime against Kansas.
That's true. I mean, so that's the thing from Texas. Could they beat Oklahoma? Yes. Hurt sitting there. They've had the 3 years in a row of the great quarterbacks, so he's not there. And LSU lost all their starters, okay? But to your point, can they dodge Kansas State? What about Baylor? What about West Virginia?
Oklahoma State's got a ton coming back, and even that's running back, Hubbard, did he end up going over 2,000 yards last year?
He was right on it.
Yeah, but he, you know, everyone thought he was turning pro. He's not. He's going back. So, you know, I mean, Oklahoma State will, they've always got some say in it for sure.
They do for sure. Good call there.
All right, so the 5 at 5 is brought to you as all.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.